Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Topic of our podcast today is Deadly Demons, the Possession of Michael Taylor. Michael Taylor was a young man who, back in 1974, apparently went through an exorcism and ended up killing his wife and his puppy, Randy.
Well, that's
Puppy killing, but we got another motherfucking puppy killer in here.
I'm afraid so, Colonel.
I hate these puppy killers.
I'd like to ever remind everyone we are we use adult language and adult humor, so if that offends you, then please check out one of the other fine podcasts out there, such as They Walk Among Us with our good friends Ben and Rosanna. It's a true crime podcast, number one podcast in Great Britain. So we suggest you check them out. Let me introduce our
panel.
The
other thing you can do, Timmy, is if it offends you, you can just ask one of your friends to come over to your house and pull that stick out of your ass.
We'd like to introduce...
That would be a good friend that did that.
The very lovely, a lady who's known as Brandy the Benevolent, Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm doing good, Timmy. How are you?
I am fair to middling.
Well, I can't ask for more than that.
Well, you could. You can ask for good.
No, not for you.
I'm not sure how good is middling, Colonel.
It's better than dead, Timmy.
Is it really?
Most days.
I would like to introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting today, a man who is known as an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair.
Oh, he's not.
He's been called the Marlon Brando of podcasting.
By you.
The very honorable, the Reverend.
I've still been called it.
The Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Couldn't be better, Timmy.
I'm glad to hear you. Excited about this story?
Timmy, I love me a good exorcism, but I hate a puppy-killing motherfucker. Why you got to kill a puppy?
I know. You're not
big on... what did a puppy ever do to somebody? Because, you know, serial killers, and I mean, it's... I'm not going into victims or whatever here, but...
Right. You're not blipping.
Again, a lot of people got the shit coming.
Okay.
Puppies rarely got.
Didn't you have to do a? Didn't you get suspended for saying that last time?
But I gave a list of people who had it coming.
Okay.
This time I'm just saying
in general.
You some bitches know who you are. You got it coming, and but puppies, they hardly ever have it coming.
All right. Well, let's talk about the possession of Michael Taylor, Brandy.
Okay.
This is the story of Michael Taylor, a seemingly ordinary. A seemingly ordinary peaceful man, Brandy. Who in 1974 brutally murdered his wife and their pet poodle using his bare hands.
In fairness, poodles are a yappy dog.
Yeah, but they still ain't got it coming.
This case received international attention as it was claimed he killed his spouse because he was possessed by more than 40 demons at the time of the murders. Think about that, Brandy.
Damn.
That's a lot of
demons, man.
You're
There's more demons than you got, devil.
You don't know that. You don't know me.
Michael Taylor was seemingly an average working-class man living with his family in West Yorkshire, England. We should do our British accents for this.
Nope.
All
right. Got voted down. Sorry, guys. Michael was a butcher, Brandy.
Was he a baker?
He owned a small
steak maker.
He owned a small flat.
Oh.
That's an apartment. It's what they call apartments in England. He was married to his childhood sweetheart, Christine, and was the proud father of five children. You think about that, Brandy.
It's a lot of fucking kids.
Jesus, pull out once in a while.
Find a new hobby.
Yeah.
Michael, like most people in a small town, lived what would be described as an ordinary and somewhat boring life, Brandy.
Yeah.
Much like the Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
That all changed, soon would change, when Michael turned 31 years old.
The 30s are a bitch.
Michael was born in West Yorkshire on May 2nd, 1944. So he was born on May 2nd. That's near our birthday, Brandy.
It is.
1944. That's near your birthday.
Near your birthday.
His parents were ordinary people who worked. Are you getting the sense of this? I'm trying to paint a picture here. This was your average Joe.
It's an average guy.
Yeah. His parents were ordinary people who worked hard to put food on the table for his three brothers and two sisters. Michael was an average student and generally well-behaved, Colonel.
This motherfucker stand out at anything except for having 40 demons in him?
We got a bunch of kids.
He got good marks in school and was never in any serious trouble. Soon after graduating, he married his high school sweetheart, Christine Hartwell. The couple settled in the small town of Osset, not far from Christine's family. All right, so far so good, right?
Sure.
Seems headed in a boring direction, yeah.
Michael worked in a number of different jobs, including that of a mechanic, truck driver, and, as I mentioned, a butcher. Michael and Christine settled down in Osset, Yorkshire, and started a family. Before long, they would have five children. Osset is an unremarkable place in many ways, a small working-class community with a population of 21,000.
So a boring guy in a boring place.
Yeah.
All right.
The town had several factories.
Well, shit, no wonder you got so many kids. The only thing they got to do is bang there.
They had several factories, yet experienced high rates of unemployment. It was here that Michael worked as a butcher. In the early 1970s, he started experiencing terrible back pain that he attributed to a work injury, Colonel.
Workers' comp.
Yeah, he went for that. He started missing work due to his injury, but he was eventually let go, Brandy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure the three of us will be eventually
let go, yeah.
With very few options, Michael and his family went on relief. They went on a dole, Colonel.
Went on the lamb, Timmy?
No, on the
dole. Dumbass, the dole.
On public assistance.
I don't get that.
Relief.
That's what it's called, welfare.
Yeah, the Colonel always been self-sufficient.
Michael often looked for work, but his now constant back pain prevented him from doing manual labor. He should have got the Percocet, Brandy.
Well,
you can do a lot of stuff with Percocet that you normally can't do.
Yes, you can.
Michael had only a high school education, so his employment opportunities were somewhat limited. Christine worked part-time in a textile factory to help the family make ends meet. Michael felt ashamed that his wife was working to support the family, and he was unable to do so. So he's got some depression going on here. Their family was considered mostly cheerful and happy by their neighbors, but
except for the jags of crying they could hear.
Michael was described as a generally kind, mild manner, and loving father and husband, although he was sometimes prone to minor bouts of depression due to his back injury.
And being
unable to work. Back injury left him with chronic pain and inability to find long-term employment. Otherwise, there was no indication that anything was amiss, Brandy, or unusual in the Taylor household. And neighbors would later report that the sound of laughter and joy emanated from the home quite often. Sounds like your house, Brandy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sounds something like that.
This all changed, Colonel, in late 1973. The couple began to fight, Colonel, and Michael, he began
always
to drink.
Happens, Timmy.
He began
always
to drink.
Happens.
He started spending more and more time at the local pub, Colonel.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Is that what you do?
Mm-hmm. I go down to the pub all the time.
Christine was...
You can't even spell pub.
I go down to the local pub, Timmy, from time to time.
Christine was very religious, and she begged Michael to give up the bottle, Colonel, and attend the church with her and the five kids. What do you think about that, Colonel?
Well, fuck, I got five kids running around the house. I'm going to be drunk all the time. She lucky ain't on fentanyl or some shit.
Michael finally agreed to join the church, Brandy. and soon became one of their most devout members. He spent hours each day studying the Bible and made sure never to miss a service. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Good for him.
In late 1974, autumn was fading in Ossett.
Now, that was the year I was born, smart ass.
Well, that's why the, yeah, and it was a bitter chill in the air, Colonel.
I wonder where that came from.
Whatever.
And it was May 10th. No, it was in the autumn. The ordinary Ossett folks had no idea that soon the eyes of the world would fall on their small community. Something sinister and truly evil was brewing in the bosom of their hometown, Brandy.
Bosom.
By the time the first week of October was over, a most heinous.
What?
Heinous. And sickening crime would have been committed, Brandy. A crime that would begin with the possession of Michael Taylor.
That was, I'm going to tell you something. This is how this happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I only got, you know, I don't have five kids. I got less than that. But this guy, what's he doing to me? He's an average guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of plain, regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a bunch of kids running around the house now.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And he's going to church.
Right.
But let me tell you about kids, Timmy.
All right.
Those motherfuckers will not let you be Christian.
They don't. They do not. They make you lose Jesus, don't they?
They do. You try to be a good man.
You do.
They will not let you be a goddamn Christian.
It's a shame. You know, it's...
Tell me. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. No, I've tried, Timmy. I've tried.
I feel so uncomfortable when you guys agree on something.
It was not until my kids left my house that I could find Jesus again, Timmy.
And now,
I lost him.
Preach.
He abandoned me, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. Preach it.
He abandoned me. He brought me three dumbass children to my house. And as hard as I would look for Jesus, Timmy.
Don't you have four children?
Huh? But only had three living with me at that time.
Oh, I thought maybe only three were dumbasses.
Oh, no, they're all four dumbasses, but three of them live with me.
Okay.
But I would go to church every Sunday, Timmy, and I would pray, and I would pray, and I would pray.
Just let me be MC Hammer.
No. But you couldn't be a Christian in my house, Timmy.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
Because you know what happened?
What?
You get in there for that box of chocolate fudge Pop-Tarts, Timmy, and you grab that box out, and that motherfucker be empty every time.
It's like me coming into work.
Yeah. You feel his pain.
Motherfuckers. Yeah.
You grab your 2 liter Coke Zero, Timmy,
uh-huh.
and start to pour you, and find out the some bitch didn't put the cap back on tight, and it's flatter than panther piss.
Nothing
Timmy.
Worse than flat.
So I'm just telling you, that's why this all happened.
Preach, brother.
I could see it coming.
Brandy, at 9:45 a.m. on October 6, 1974, West Yorkshire Police received a phone call. A man had been seen wandering around naked in the streets of Ossett.
So it was like what? What day was it? Like just a Tuesday?
I'm sure the other week. And it was, and he reportedly was covered with red paint.
Yeah, that shit happens.
Mm-hmm. He was heard mumbling in what sounded to be a foreign language.
Oh.
Uncertain as to whether or not this was a hoax, Officer Ian Walker was sent out to investigate.
Send the new guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some naked guy walking around with red paint.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and get that.
Take a look at that, see what's going on. So Ian Walker, Officer Walker, was sent out to investigate, making his way along the cold, deserted streets that Sunday morning. It was a Sunday, Brandy.
In the ghetto.
The constable could have had little idea what the day would hold. Arriving at the scene, the officer discovered a naked man curled in a fetal position, shivering and covered not with red paint, Brandy, but blood.
And his name was Chuck.
You know how many times this happened?
Yeah, exactly. Damn it.
As the officer approached the man began to scream. And he screamed, I quote, "It is the blood of Satan. It is the blood of Satan," unquote. The man's voice was very deep. And as he glazed at the officer, he had saliva.
As he glazed at him?
Yeah, gazed at him. The saliva began drooling from his mouth.
He glazed all over that officer.
Yes.
As the officer got closer, he could see the man's retinas were bright red and seemed to be glowing, Brandy. That's creepy.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
The man was also emitting a very distinct foul odor, Colonel, that smelled like spoiled eggs.
He tooted.
He had the sulfur farts, Timmy. Nothing worse than the sulfur farts. And usually only dogs get them.
Yeah.
But clearly.
When they do, you can hotbox somebody real quick.
You can't. And what's worse is when a dog does it and then leaves the room, you don't even know the dog's been there. And then people eye you suspiciously. It ain't cool.
It's a bad scene,
My dog does that all the time. You can't give him those rawhide chews.
Clearly in a state of great distress, the man was making little or no sense, Brandy.
Well.
Much like this podcast.
Yeah.
This podcast
for demons, too.
Fortunately, by this time, a witness has arrived who identified the naked man as Michael Taylor. Suspecting that foul play has taken place, Brandy.
This officer's clearly on his shit.
Mm-hmm. Officer Ian Walker immediately radioed for officers to be dispatched to Taylor's home to check his wife and children.
Now, this is in England, right?
Yes.
So they don't have, at that time, they weren't carrying the guns. I wonder, did they even have handcuffs?
I don't know.
Because being a bobby seems like it'd be a kind of a shit job. You got a stick and you're supposed to keep law and order.
And you got those funny hats.
Yeah. You got to worry about your hat coming off, but all you can do is, beating people with a stick. Now, that's fun, but, I mean, when you got a serious criminal robbing a bank, that's some shit going on there.
What greeted the police at Michael Taylor's home was a scene of appalling depravity, Brandy. Mrs. Christine Taylor, the wife of Michael, and her small poodle laid dead.
What was the poodle's name?
Oh, no.
Yappy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Continue, Brandy. Tell us what happens next in this travesty.
Well, all right. So both of them had been murdered.
Yes.
In the most shocking and gruesome way. Whoever had committed the crime, who could it be?
Who could it be now?
Who was clearly deranged and evil.
Did men at work ever actually work?
No.
Yeah.
Miss Walker had
one guy lost an eye in an industrial accident.
Yeah, that guy was, it was all frog-eyed. It wandered everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It was a glass eye.
Miss Walker had asphyxiated on her own blood, but before she died, her attacker had ripped off her face with his bare hands and pulled out her tongue and gouged out her eyes.
I bet she ate the last Pop-Tart and left the empty box in there. You know, there's only...
That's pretty gruesome.
And I'm going to tell you this, ladies, just for you. This is a public... The more you know, Timmy.
Public service announcement.
Men have a quota of paint swatches they can look at. Mm-hmm. And especially if you have trouble distinguishing colors. But once you've looked at 347 shades of blue,
yes,
with a bunch of funky names like, you know, Pacific Blue and, you know, give me some paint names. You've done this before, Devil. But, you know, Powder Baby Blue and you're looking at all these paint
swatches.
Blue Balls Blue. You're looking at all these things, and it's like, well, do you think I should go with the baby powder blue or the powder puff blue? Or eventually you rip somebody's face off and kill the dog, Timmy.
I see. All right, Brandy, continue now.
I'm not victim blaming.
That was a wonderful fucking story.
Well, you do that shit to us all the time.
What happens next, Brandy?
All right, let's see here. All right, one of her eyeballs was found on the ground while another was clinging to its socket. Miss Walker looked as though she'd been attacked by a crazed animal.
Yeah, that does sound like a gross scene to come.
Her face had been torn off and that had left her skull exposed. Miss Walker was covered with blood and there was another large pool of blood on the ground. Her little dog lay close by. The poodle had been strangled. His legs were torn out of their socket, and his eyes and tongue were also removed. The dog also had human teeth marks around its neck, and it appeared the killer had been gnawing on the dog's flesh.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Not your average day in Ossett.
I don't think so. Fortunately, the children were not at home at the time of the attack and were unharmed. So this poor lady gets 10 minutes alone by herself when the kids aren't around, and this fucker ruins it for her.
Rips out her eyes.
That's some bullshit. Investigating.
FBI offends the pluck it out.
Okay, huh?
I never heard that before.
Investigating officers.
Well, read the Bible once in a while, motherfucker. You learn something.
He's got a point.
If thine eye offends thee, pluck it out.
I said he's got a point.
Yeah.
Investigating officers, who again are on top of their shit.
Ian Walker.
Immediately realized that Michael Taylor was the crazed killer.
They connected the dots.
They did. They made that connection. There was one problem, though. Taylor could not remember anything of his crime. Claiming to love his wife, he appeared to have no motive. For the time being,
well, they
police...
didn't know about the Pop-Tarts.
Well, they did not. For the time being, police and the public would have to wait to discover why this tragedy had happened. In the meantime, Taylor was reprimanded to Broadmoor Hospital, a high-security psychiatric unit, to await trial. If the murder of Christine Taylor was shocking, the story that eventually unfolded was amazing. So sensational were the events leading up to the crime that they divided the public and legal opinions, shook the Anglican Church of England to its very core. The investigation revealed that Michael Taylor was an ordinary man, I think we've established that, of 31 when this murder was committed. He was married to Christine. They have 5 kids and an ordinary life. Again, established. At a time of high unemployment in Northern England, he wasn't helped by long-standing back injury and spent periods of time looking for work. This was far from unusual in an area where the main industries of coal and cotton weaving were on the decline. When Michael began to feel depressed and unsettled in the months preceding the murders, a friend, Barbara Wardman, invited him to attend a prayer group at the Christian Fellowship Church.
Yeah, are you part of a prayer group, Colonel?
I lead a prayer group, Tim.
Do you?
Eventually, Michael, who was not religious, agreed to go. The prayer group was led by a young 22-year-old woman named Mary Robinson. At some point during the evening, she began to shake and tremble, a sign that the Holy Spirit was within her.
Think about that, Colonel.
At these times, Mary believed that she was able to offer healing to the suffering.
Shake and tremble.
All right, so she
too.
Can faith. She does faith healing.
Sure.
Okay.
But only when she's possessed.
Right.
Knowing that Michael had an injured back and was suffering from depression, she believed that God wanted her to heal him.
Sure he does.
With another member of the church, Mavis Smith. When another member of the church, Mavis Smith, began to weep uncontrollably, Mary was torn who to help first. Eventually, she knelt before Mavis and began to speak in tongues in order to exorcise the woman.
What? She knelt and was doing what with her tongue?
She's trying to heal her. Okay. She's speaking in tongues. See what happens here. She lets the demons in. She's opened the souls up, Colonel.
Oh, okay. She's opened up the door to the demons.
Yes.
Like the
one woman we did, the Lamar woman. Yeah. She was just opening up her legs to the demons.
I continue, Brandy.
Perfect.
Barbara Lamar.
To the astonishment of the congregation, Michael Taylor joined with Mary, also speaking in tongues and praying fervently.
Okay, so he just jumped in.
Michael also began speaking in several other languages, such as German, Polish, and Chinese. No one who knew Michael, including his wife, had ever heard him speak anything but English prior to the event.
I want to know how many motherfuckers in Ossett, England knew Chinese. He was just spurting out like
no,
Ho Chi Minh.
No,
motherfucker.
I think Ho Chi Minh's Vietnamese, you ignorant bastard.
I'm just saying how in the fuck they know he was in. What, they got translators in there? They got all of a sudden they got some bitches speak 7 languages in the church. And they're like, oh, you going to the German. He's going to end up fucking Farsi now.
The point is that
now.
These demons were speaking through him.
He wasn't speaking. He was just making up words. They didn't know what he was using a German accent. Like, nine.
Don't look at me.
I mean,
turn him off.
But I'm just saying, how in the fuck are you going to say he's speaking 5 different languages? And was there witnesses that knew the languages? What did he say in those languages?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, of course it doesn't. You know why it doesn't? Because he was just making up words and funny accents.
Over the next few
weeks. I don't
weeks,
even think Chinese people are speaking Chinese half the time. I think they're just making some shit up.
Continue, Brandy.
And then you get them on the news.
We're
and
sorry
like,
to all of Chinese listeners. Continue, Brandy.
No, I mean, they just fuck with us.
Over the next few weeks, Michael Taylor became obsessed with Mary Robinson, much to the dismay of his wife, Christine.
Yeah, well, that would make you dismay, Brandy.
On the 1st of October, just a few days before the murder, Taylor and Robinson sat up all night making the sign of the cross over each other. I bet they did.
Yeah,
that'd get a little boring after a while. Yeah. Well, about 20 minutes. I mean, I don't know if I could do that all night.
You can do it for a while, but
eventually you want to check out CNN or something.
Well, the reason for this bizarre behavior was their concern that the full moon would adversely affect Mary, like fucking werewolf.
Well, it happens. You scoffed at it, but it happens.
I wanted to see this motherfucker jump up in the middle of church and do like the fucking Gettysburg Address or something.
Yeah.
Because you can fake German, but you can't fake the Gettysburg Address.
Continue, Brandy.
On top of this, Michael's attitude at home began to change as well.
Right.
He was more irritable and argumentative, sullen towards his family, with whom he was spending less and less time. Motherfucker better get in here and take care of these damn kids.
Because he's spending time with Mary.
Yeah. This was totally unlike the easygoing, peaceful way Michael had once been. And it was assumed that the church member was somehow exerting negative influence on him.
Nine!
Stop.
See, I just got possessed and spoke three different languages.
That's very good, Colonel.
All of a sudden, I'm calling shenanigans on this shit.
He's calling bullshit, Brandy, but continue.
Yeah, I understood what he said. I just want to make sure
he's shenanigans.
It got to the point where Michael's increasingly bizarre beliefs, uncharacteristic, erratic behavior. Quid pro
quo. Now I'm possessed and speaking Latin. I don't even know Latin.
His shitty attitude and infatuation with Mary Robinson became quite obvious to those around him.
Mrs. Robinson.
Most notably, his wife.
Now, you know, Mrs. Robinson, here's the thing. Jesus loved her more than she could know.
Yes.
Whoa.
Cuckoo, could you shut the fuck up?
Now you're not on the same page.
Yeah, you see? Now you lost your Christianity.
Yeah. Not only do my kids make me lose Jesus, my work children make me lose Jesus.
That's her in the spotlight, Timmy, losing her religion.
Yes, I am. As Michael's behavior became more uncharacteristic and disturbing, Christine reached a breaking point.
She's at the breaking point.
Eventually, she publicly confronted her husband in front of the congregation.
Oh, hell no.
Of the Christian Fellowship Church.
No, she didn't.
You know what? Showing your ass in front of the church, that seems like something that you should not do.
You know, if your husband is banging the...
Accused him of having an affair with Mary.
What?
Get out.
That's fucked up.
It was at this point where his behavior would take a turn for the worse.
Yeah, he's off Chinese now. He's on something else.
Did they have one Chinese motherfucker in that church?
That's he probably did, but then he left. Michael is reported to have felt an evil influence cast a shadow over him.
I feel that every day I come to work.
And then, compelled by this force, turned his inexplicable sudden fury on Mary Robinson, lashing out at her verbally, speaking in tongues, and then tried to physically attack her.
See, claiming anytime people speak in tongues, I back up.
Well, no, I just say, what are you saying? Explain that to me. Because once they start with that rolling on the floor shit, and you know, what the fuck are you saying? What the fuck
do you need my
fair?
While they're rolling around, do you tap them and go, "Excuse me, I'm sorry"? What?
I just put my foot on top of him and say, settle the fuck down here. Now, what you got to say? Because clearly what you're saying seems important to you at the time, but I do not understand what you're trying to communicate to me. So could you speak in a more Americanized version?
Nice.
And stop rolling.
Let's see. Yeah,
unless they're holy rollers, Timmy.
Then it's permitted. Yes.
Then they roll and writhe and writhe and roll and roll and writhe.
Brandy,
and
writhe. Please continue with the script.
Could
please,
I?
Yes. Please continue, Brandy.
So he attacks Mary, claiming she had demons invade his soul. At this point, several other churchgoers had to restrain him before he seriously hurt someone.
Okay.
Members of the congregation intervened to drag Taylor away, leaving the young Mary Robinson trembling and fearing for her life. Despite this display of uncontrolled rage, Michael returned to the church the next day and received absolution and forgiveness.
Right. That's a great thing about church.
But this was not the end of the matter.
Oh.
Michael would claim later to have no memory of the incident. Despite this frightening, violent outburst, the following day, Michael received full forgiveness from Mary Robinson and a church absolution for what had happened. However, no one really ever would forget what had happened, and a close eye was kept on Michael in the wake of this episode.
Well, I can understand that.
So they was giving him the stink eye.
Yep.
So these Christian people was talking about forgive and forget, but there wasn't really forgetting, was there?
Do any of us really?
Let's now hear what happens next, as the Colonel will tell us.
Well, Timmy, it became pretty apparent that this...
Are you scared, Brandy? Is this topic a little creepy to you?
No, I'm
good. This could be on one of your shows, Devil.
It could.
Yes. What's the name of your podcast? Haunted Visions. Haunted Visions.
Haunted Visions.
Kind of a dick move there.
That was a dick move.
I just forgot.
What's the name of your little podcast over there?
Right.
So anyway, it became apparent that his deteriorating, out-of-character behavior showed no signs of abating.
Oh, I like
that. I threw that one in there. Oh, I like that.
I like that. You like that, Brian?
That his sanity was peeling away, and in fact, he got worse as time went on, Timmy.
He deteriorated, Brandy.
He alerted several local ministers to the realization that he might be under the influence of demonic forces. Now, some felt that the only explanation for this once mild-mannered man's action was that he was not possessed.
It makes sense, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
The church's elders were particularly concerned, so concerned, in fact, that they called for the exorcism of Michael Taylor's soul.
Brandy.
You know what? Yes. I officially declare for exorcism of your soul, Devil.
We should do a live podcast.
We should do a live exorcism.
Exorcism podcast.
I want to see the demons leave your body.
You know, you might be a pleasant person under all that.
You could be.
Evil.
Yeah.
Fuck both of you.
Well, see, there's a lot of exercising to do there. We're going to be in good shape with all that exercising.
The two of you neither have the time nor are you qualified.
He's a reverend.
I am a reverend.
I don't. He
Let
is.
Me, come over here. Let me lay my hands on you,
First
Devil.
First of all, you lay your hand on me. Let me lay my hands on you. Draw back a stub.
So anyway, the church's elders were concerned, so they called for exorcism. Now, the exorcism was
the obvious thing
it
to
was
do.
Pretty hastily organized.
Well,
basically,
you can't just whip that shit together.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Just threw it together.
They had two ministers, an Anglican priest and Reverend Smith. He was a Methodist.
An old priest and a young priest.
And the Methodists aren't really, I'm a Methodist myself, and we're not really known for our exorcism skills, Timmy. And primarily because Methodists don't become possessed. Mm-hmm. We're just a decent, hardworking, salted earth people. But they were asked to perform this ritual. And on midnight, Saturday, the 5th of October, 1974, St. James Church, Yorkshire, the exorcism began, Timmy.
Okay.
For the next 7 hours, Taylor was put through unimaginable horrors. As soon as exorcism began, he began to spit, scream, bite, scratch, fart. He even soiled himself, Timmy.
Brandy, do you see how he brings those words to life? That's how you should read your script.
Yeah, put a little heart into it, Devil. People, we got Patreon sponsors looking for. So anyway,
let me
this guy got the doo-doo running down his legs.
I'm not the one who got railed on the page.
Yeah, you did kind of get a bad review, Colonel.
I did get a bad, you know, and I.
They called you obnoxious.
I can't even imagine.
Hey, you know what I get? What I don't get about this is the way they said, well, I listened to several episodes, and then I came across one that obnoxious guy was on vacation. Well, I wasn't so obnoxious that you listened to 39 episodes before that, you dumb motherfucker. What you think? And then all of a sudden you got lucky because I wasn't here one day and it made your day?
She liked me and Brandy.
Yes, she did.
That shows that, well, you know, there's a lot of people that don't. Really don't appreciate the Colonel, but you know what, Timmy? Well, you know what I do have?
What?
I have a bunch of really, the CBG squad, I have a bunch of really you evil do. Women at my disposal.
You do. You have very devoted followers.
I do.
And you have the son of colonels. You got Jason.
Yeah, that's all I need, really. I don't need anything.
First
more
of all, let's
that.
Establish, if I flashed a titty at Jason, he would come right over to my team. So let's not.
Now, see, you underestimate Jason's loyalty.
No, I don't.
I think you might have to show him both. So now they got this guy. He's spitting, farting. He may have spontaneously ejaculated.
Probably.
And oh, you priest, you bitch.
So anyway. Spontaneous ejaculation, Brandy, is a problem because you start sticking to your underwear.
You do. Now, he's already soiled himself. He started to crouch and hop around like a frog, and he was cussing and spitting a large amount of green phlegm.
Maybe he just had a cold.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about you, Brandy, but I'd love to see that on video.
Oh, yeah, no, that's good stuff.
It's too bad they didn't have YouTube then. Now, as the process continued, so this is erratic behavior. He went into uncontrollable convulsions and fits and bouts of scratching, spitting, and biting, which required that he be forcefully tied to the floor. How the fuck you gonna tie a motherfucker to the floor in church?
Well, maybe they thought ahead enough to put something down.
Yeah.
Well, they hastily threw together the exorcism, but
yeah,
you know, you need rope when you got it.
You do need some rope. Yeah.
Well, doesn't that come with the kit?
Well, I think they just pulled off those little things they wear. You know, they drape them around whatever they're called, the ropes.
Those are called curtain tiebacks.
Yeah, curtain tiebacks.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, over the next hour, he was subjected to having crucifixes shoved in his mouth, anus, doused with holy water.
He added the anus part.
I did add the anus part, but you know they did it. You know, once that motherfucker bit him, somebody rammed a crucifix up his ass. I'd have done it. And being forced to confess his sins, all the while growling and snapping at anyone. The motherfucker turned into a werewolf. Mm-hmm. At anyone who came near him. Despite this, he continued to have convulsions while he was doused in holy water and crucifixes placed
crucify.
Upon his body.
Crucifixes be crucifying.
Over 40 demons. 40 motherfucking demons was identified.
How?
And he did
Do they have
not
driver's
license?
They have no name tags.
Yeah. Hi, my name is. Yeah, but you know what? And I read about this part. So wait a minute. They're stupid. Like, they're dumb names.
Yeah, well, they looked at his tax returns, and they could have figured out who he claimed on his, what demons he claimed for that year. But anyway. So
Sybil
is
strapped to the floor, and they figure out that he's got 40 40 demons in there.
Wow.
You know, one of them's named what, like Tree and.
Ooh, now hold on.
No, they're like they named him like bad. He'll tell you, Colonel.
But I don't understand why they didn't give him. You know, and Malachi,
yeah,
Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me tell you some of the demons
Damien.
He had.
Yes,
these are stupid names.
See if any of these
more like deadly sins than
yeah.
See
these
if
people
any
are unimaginative.
Of these demons might ring a bell for somebody at this table here.
Yeah, right. Timmy, pay
now,
attention.
The incest, okay.
Incest.
They named that one. Bestiality.
Yeah. Bestiality.
What? Okay, bestiality. Now we're getting into some familiar territory here.
Okay,
are we?
Because Timmy, me and you have to become familiar with these demons every day.
Yes.
We deal with these demons every day. These
every
demons are
day.
Our life 60 hours a week, Timmy,
yes.
As we're here at the workplace.
Yes.
And there's a demon called heresy, heresy, Timmy.
Yes, heresy.
Heresy.
Heresy, and Brandy.
Heresy is living right behind
like
your spleen,
Hennessy?
Devil.
Or Morrissey.
You got the heresy right behind your spleen.
Right behind my spleen.
And on top of the liver devil. You got lewdness living there.
Lewdness.
L-E-D-I-N-E-S-S. And you know what else you got, devil?
Lewdness.
Right down lewdness. In those tingly parts of yours?
I think I misspelled that.
You did.
Right down in those tingly parts, you got carnal knowledge.
Carnal knowledge.
Carnal knowledge, devil. Blasphemy. You blasphemer, you. You know you got it.
Do you blaspheme a lot?
Oh, she blasphemes all the time, Timmy.
I like the carnal knowledge one, though.
I've got a blasphemer in my leg.
Now, according to the priest...
I also have carnival knowledge. I know where how to throw those little, knock those little balls, milk bottles over with the ball.
Oh, that's not what he's
talking
about.
I know to stay away from the midgets.
Now, according to the priest, they had to be dragged kicking and screaming from his body. How are you going to grab a hold of a good demon? Now, the exorcism lasted until 6 a.m. By daybreak, everybody was exhausted. But it had only been partially successful, Timmy.
Okay.
They said that although 37 demons remained, Timmy, three of the evil spirits was 37 had been pulled out of his body.
Yeah, 37. But
three remained, Timmy.
Okay.
He was not rid of all these demons. Despite the failure, the decision was made to allow him to go home, and the exorcism would be completed the following night. And before he left church,
dumbass bullshit I have ever motherfucking heard.
We're gonna
heard.
Call it a night.
Yeah, you go ahead, go on home.
Now,
spit it out, Jethro.
We've become familiar with here, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Before he left the church, the exorcist warned that the three demons is still stubbornly occupied Brandy's body and Michael's body and soul, insanity, anger, and murder.
Murder.
Yeah, but you go on home with your wife and kids.
Now, within 2 hours, he arrived home and slaughtered his wife and dog.
You get the murder one out first. You know, somebody heresy. You let that one stay. Look,
yeah, well, the
somebody
dog
made a bad call.
The dog couldn't decide if he wanted the bestiality or the murder one taken out first.
You got to prioritize what we're saying.
You do. Because the dog was just grateful they didn't leave the bestiality in before the murder. But
yes.
I shouldn't have said that about
that
the
dog got
dog.
Chewed on. Why don't you leave him alone?
Well, he did get banged.
You don't know that.
No, because bestiality demon was taken out of him.
Yeah, but you never know if one of those others can make him do some shit.
In 1975, the trial of Michael Kit Taylor began with a warning that the details of the case would take the jury back to the Middle Ages, Timmy.
Middle Ages, Brandy.
Middle Ages. Like me, middle age. Sensationally reported in national papers, evidence
would
divide public opinion. I know, and turn against the church. Taylor's defense rested greatly on discrediting both the prayer group and the priest who attempted the exorcism. And defending his client, Mr. Ognall QC stated,
"What?
I don't know. What that? That's the most fucked up name I've heard. Let those who are truly responsible for this killing, Eggnog, Mr. Eggnog QC.
That's better.
Let those who are truly responsible for this killing stand up. We submit that Mr. Taylor is a mere cipher. The real guilt lies elsewhere, and religion is the key."
So he's blaming the church, Colonel. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on what church you're in. Some churches have killed people before. So anyway, but not my church. Not the Church of the Latter-day Colonel. We do some
you make love, not war.
We do make a lot of love in the church. We do make a lot of love. We like to think of ourselves as lovers, not killers. So at his trial, he was acquitted on the grounds of batshit craziness.
That's insanity.
Yeah. Christine Taylor's death was recorded as misadventure rather than murder.
She fell and got her face ripped off.
Yeah.
It's a misadventure.
He was sent to Broadmoor Hospital for 2 years. Then spent another 2 years in a secure ward in another hospital before being released. 4 years. The bizarre nature of the case attracted a lot of publicity. He was detained on a secure psychiatric ward for the next 4 years, and then he was then judged to be sane, to be released back into society. How in the hell? Okay, first of all, tell me this, because you probably got more experience in this. How did you get judged sane to be put back in society, devil? I mean, is this something that, what's the process for that?
I've never been caught.
Oh, okay. So there we go. Now, Taylor was detained. Okay, since his release, he has attempted at least suicide at least 4 times. Now, this kind of fuck up you are. He attempted suicide four times.
Mm-hmm.
How you trying to kill yourself there, motherfucker? Were you poking yourself with a needle till you bleed to death?
Trying to pull his own face off.
Yeah.
That's hard to do, Brandy.
Now, in July 2005, he re-entered the news after being found guilty of indecently touching a teenage girl. It's because they didn't get that last demon out of him.
Oh, that's gross.
A week into his prison sentence for the crime, he began exhibiting the sort of strange behavior that had preceded his wife's murder. When brought back before the court, they once again ordered him into the nut house. The possession of Michael Taylor continues to divide public opinion. What role did the Christian Fellowship prayer group play in the death of Christine Taylor? People want to know. Did this group, led by the charismatic Mary Robinson, cuckoo, ca-choo, tip a depressed and vulnerable man over the edge of sanity?
Yeah, your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I think it was the five kids that did it. As for the priests who carried out the exorcism of Michael Taylor, if they truly believed that he was possessed by demonic entities, should they have allowed him to walk out of the church on that fateful Sunday morning?
Brandy says no.
No, that's fucking stupid.
A witness to the exorcism, Margaret Smith, had begged the priest not allow him to leave the church until the job was complete, but her pleas fell on deaf ears.
You'd think that would kind of go without saying.
Well, you'd think that would be part of the standard
protocol. That might be the problem.
It's part of the standard exorcism protocol.
If the priests are deaf, that might be the problem.
Well, that might be. You're right.
Now, others would argue that his subsequent suicide attempts are the sign of a deeply troubled soul. But anyway, he was, some argue that the fact that he left the psychiatric unit 4 years after the murders, the same man, indicates that he was never possessed by demonic forces. But see, those demonic forces can lay dormant in you for a long time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, look at the devil. She just, you know, wanders around here. Sometimes
playing
benevolent,
on her phone.
Mm-hmm. Playing on her phone. And then all of a sudden, she backs shit crazy. She's throwing shit at you. She's poking you with a letter opener. She steals your monitors. And anyway, both sides appear to agree that Michael Taylor was driven to commit this terrible act by outside forces.
Outside
forces, again, probably
Randy.
His kids. Whether
but they're not outside forces, they're inside.
Demonic possession?
Inside.
Or the hysterical neurosis of the church, we may never know.
May never
whatever
know.
The truth of the matter, an innocent woman was brutally killed, a family torn apart in a small
literally.
Town, and a little tiny dog marred forever by a grisly tragedy.
Well, he wasn't just marred.
He was a poodle.
He's dead.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the possession of Michael Taylor?
I think that they made a huge fuck-up letting him go.
You think it was religious malpractice?
I think they made a huge fuck-up letting him go.
Colonel, your final thoughts on the possession of Michael Taylor?
I think that they should have got those last three demons, at least one of them, because I think if they would have got the one out, the other two would have been okay.
Leave him tied to the floor and have somebody stand there and watch him. I mean, my God.
Well, fuck, the priests have been up. You know, we don't know how old they are. We don't know if they have breath.
You know,
well,
this happened.
Call somebody in to watch him.
You know, this
how
happened,
hard could it be?
This happened in 1974, which is right around the time that The Exorcist was released. I think it's related to that.
And I was born.
Yes, and you were born. A coincidence, Colonel?
I don't think so, too.
The Exorcist, Rosemary Baby, all released within a year of Brandy's birth.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that, Colonel?
I think it's not a coincidence.
I think it's not a coincidence.
We would like to give a shout-out to the Color Me Dead podcast. They were gracious enough to give us a shout-out. Nikki and Angel, thank you very much. It's a very funny true crime
it
podcast.
It is. I listened to one of them the other night.
Yeah, very funny. So check out Color Me Dead. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Mike Sadler, who's on our Facebook page. Please join our Facebook group. It's called History Dweebs, the podcast. We would love to have you join. And we would now like to thank all of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or...
Just a wee little bit, Timmy.
Thank and they're Kurt. Not doing the fee thing now.
Yes, they were.
Changed it.
Yes,
they screwed that up.
Yes, Patreon was going to charge a slight fee, and then they backed off of that. So, please, if you want to support the podcast, we'd love for you to go to patreon.com/historydweebs. And Colonel, you're going to give a shout out.
I'm
going to
give some shout out. You just did Angel and Nikki from Color Me Dead. We're going to go with Cheryl Weldon. Mm-hmm. Christine Howell, Stacy, Bridget Bernard, Nene, John V, Jess, Tracy Smith, Ron Montesario, Mistress Veda, Joe Clifford, Insight with Ali and Charlie, Canadian True Crime with the lovely Chris Toronto Indian Christy Lee, The Vanished with Marissa Jones, Adam McWaters, Heather Poole, let's see here, James Seabright, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stafford, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Maggie Glover. Maggie Glover, who gets on my ass every once in a while, Timmy. Mike Sadler.
Maggie Glover.
She is lovely. She's lovely. Mm-hmm. She's very smart, too. Jamie Dent, Maja, Tyrone Amboscoville, Marsha Boras, Stacey Alisop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, our wonderful friends Ben and Rosanna from They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Callie, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike from Pleasing Terrors, Mike Brown.
Uh-huh, Mike Brown.
Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe from American History, Catherine.
Now American History.
The Cock Garage, Richardson, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Aaron, Kimberly Camberlin, Elise, Diane from History Goes Bump, Annette Petre, Lise. We got Lise and Elise, Jahara, Alicia and Chip, Marika Smith, Jeff and Dawn. Jeff, and we hope Dawn's doing well. She lost a mother not long ago. Yeah. We hope she is doing well. We met her in person. We had lunch with her. Sweetest woman you'd ever
amazing.
Meet.
Yeah, and smart. They have their own podcast.
I was getting to that. All right. Are you going to leave me alone?
All right.
So they got Backroads to History, and then Jeff reads poetry. So, but Backroads to History, I don't listen to poetry, so I can't speak to that one, but I do listen to Backroads to History, and they do some really fascinating stuff.
Yes.
The lovely, lovely Karen Barnes, who we can't thank enough. Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Phyllis Munson, Melissa Montoya, Cindy Liu, Kristen Malachinsky. Of course, Timmy, mm-hmm. You can't really go any further without mentioning Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Rudy the Wonder
Could've
Dog.
Could have gone all day without mentioning Rudy the Wonder Dog.
And our two ladies of the podcast, really these two ladies bring
class.
Legitimacy and class to this podcast, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, we'd be taken off the air. Lady Beverly.
Beautiful
Lady Beverly.
Very lovely Lady Beverly.
Yes, with a brilliant daughter and a wonderful husband,
Lady
Graham,
Beverly's
Alexander.
Been under the weather as well.
So and
send her some
Dottie.
And Dottie.
And a lovely Dottie.
Who we hope Timmy doesn't kill anytime soon.
Yeah, right, Dottie, keep your eyes open when you're around your boy.
No.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah. So that's all I have, Timmy. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight.
We're actually doing a podcast, so no one's here, Colonel.
No, it's Saturday, so you fuckers should thank me for coming.
It is Saturday. Do you have any plans for the weekend, Colonel?
My son has his girlfriend in town, and they are at Washington Park right now, and I just got a message that said you better get your ass moving.
We would like to, speaking of Patreon supporters, a very special shout out to Terry Stafford, who not only is a Patreon supporter, but he also upped his donation. And to new Patreon supporter Joe Clifford and Mike Sadler. So thank you guys.
Thank you guys very much. We appreciate
Brandy,
that.
Brandy, any final thoughts? What are you going to do this weekend?
I don't know.
All right. Well, that's informative.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. We don't care. We just ask him to be polite. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.